Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today. Today is kind of a treat for me with our guest, I got to admit. We're going to be talking about the right way to mom. I wonder where that's going to go. Anyway, I want to welcome our very, very leading lady today. Her name is Kristen Arellano, and she is not only an esthetician at Belladora Spa in Carlsbad, California, but she's also a project manager and the radio producer for Connected Women of Influence and Women Lead Radio. And what we're going to talk about today is just how to balance and be a mom and still have a career, business, and some of the choices that you make around that. So, Kristen, say hello to all of our listeners and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, being on the other side of the radio today.
And I'm going to say, out of full disclosure, I know you're nervous, and it's like, this is, you know, just you and me talking, for our listeners, of course, but just, you know, about some of the decisions it takes to, you know, today there's just so much pressure about being a mom and being a career woman and, you know, rising up the corporate ladder. And I think this is a fabulous topic because you're a young mom, you have two kids, but do you mind just kind of sharing, you know, your background? And I think the biggest thing is at the point of when you started making some tough choices for your career, on kind of staying home with the kids. Can you share a little bit about that and just, you know, who your lovely children are, which we know because we always watch them every week, but tell a little bit about your journey and being a mom and, you know, the one big choice you made to kind of back off a little bit on your career.
Yeah, so I have two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 16-month-old. So I have my daughter in school and my son running around my house right now. And I have wanted to be an esthetician basically since I was 8 years old. That was always what I knew I wanted to do. But I also always wanted to be a mom. And I grew up with like a very entrepreneurial sister who was always, I mean, she was making us sell, not lemonade, but lemons on the side of the road or oranges, or we used to make like paper, we used to make like cards to sell. I mean, she always had a game plan for like business, where I always was loading up my doll buggy with all of my stuffed animals and baby dolls and books and reading them stories and teaching them things. And I always, always had, you know, little things that I was carrying around with me that I was, you know, momming, basically, I guess you could say.
Momming, that's a new word. I like that. I haven't heard that term.
But I also always wanted to be an esthetician. And so I started that really young. I when I was 18, I started going to beauty school, became an esthetician at 19, and I've been doing that ever since. But then I did marry my high school sweetheart, kind of, you know, this perfect love story, I suppose, if you don't know all the details. And then I got pregnant when I was 22, and I had only been an esthetician for 4 or 5 years at the time. And so I had to kind of make a decision, because at that point I wasn't making too much, but as an esthetician, you have a very reasonable potential to make, you know, a really, really exorbitant amount of money a year, up to, you know, 100K a year. And so looking at that versus looking at, you know, who's going to raise my kids, for me, it was a very natural and obvious decision to put my career on the back burner. And I brought up my sister because then for her, she owns a business. As I said, she's very entrepreneurial. She recently had a kid. For her, it was a very natural decision to not stay home. She never even considered it, where for me, I never considered working full time as a mom. So I, you know, immediately.
And you know, just back up a second on that. Mm-hmm. Just back up a minute on that. And you know, when you were at the spa, I mean, I just want for our listeners, how did you bring it up with the spa? Because for a lot of women, they don't even have the choice to back off on hours. I mean, what was your approach, you know, to kind of saying, okay, I mean, you made the decision, but then how did you approach it with the place where you work? Because that seems to me like a company was really receptive to working moms, or what was kind of the reaction when you said you wanted to pare back on your hours because you were, you know, a mom?
Yeah, for me, I got very lucky in that the place that I worked, and I had hunted around for a long time looking for a good place to work that has really good owners that you can communicate with and everything. And so I already knew where I worked. I wanted to work forever. And they were well aware of that. So when I had this conversation about, hey, you know what, I want to come back to work, but I have to scale back because I've chosen to, you know, be home with my kids, they were really, really respectful and responsive to that and were willing to work with me with whatever I was willing to give them in the meantime, knowing that it would be, you know, 5-6 years or more before I would be able to put them first again, basically, in my life. And looking at it right now at 6 years and I've just had a second baby, it's going to be another 5 or 6 years before I can put them first. And they're still, you know, willing to kind of flex with me on that. So I honestly got really lucky. And I think the, you know, more society grows and everything becomes more aware of the needs of a parent, companies are becoming more receptive to being more flexible for kids.
Yeah, it is. I mean, how for you on the decision to kind of just, you know, do that? I mean, when you had Stella, we'll say your daughter's name, she's so cute. what did you go? Was it immediate as soon as you knew you had Stella that you said, I really want to back off on my hours? I mean, and I'm asking you this because I know you're a planner. So I'm curious if it was something you thought about while pregnant, or was it something that happened afterwards and it was more of a decision of just keeping it all together? Or what was your decision-making process to then decide to kind of back off on hours?
It was an immediate decision for sure. I mean, just learning I was going to have a kid and knowing I needed to kind of shape my life to keep the kid alive. when I was fairly still figuring myself out, I knew right away that I wanted to definitely make sure my life was ready by the time this baby came here that I could be home with her. So I talked to them right away about, you know, what this is going to look like in 10 months when this baby comes here. Or I mean, I probably told them at, you know, when I was 3 or 4 months pregnant. So in 6 months, what I wanted, you know, my life and my career to look like for the time being. And definitely talking to them about it, you know, as soon as I felt comfortable talking to them about it versus waiting until maybe I was on maternity leave to be like, oh, by the way, I'm not coming back full time. Definitely helps them to, you know, get on board with my plan and adjust to it and be okay with it and lean into it.
Yeah. You know, I know I'm going to go a little bit, I'm going to flip things on you a little bit, and I want your opinion here because I know you interact with a lot of young moms, you know, that have jobs and careers and some of them entrepreneurs. I'm curious for you, there was one of our past few talk presenters, and she coined a phrase for the moms that decided to, quote, stay home with the kids and not work. And it's almost like there was backlash and discrimination the other way because she was one of those moms that had a full-time career. She was dropping off the kids in the morning and running to the office, and she felt the wrath. She called them the mommy mafia because they were, in her opinion, not very nice to her, you know, because she was running off. She didn't have time for the PTA. She didn't have time to be involved in school. So I'm curious with you, I mean, do you find that a lot of moms are – like that? Was it just unique and unusual to her? Because I know you've been involved in the PTA and, you know, you've seen both women who, you know, are full-time moms and others that are working moms. So I'm curious, do you find that there's almost like a backlash to working moms at all?
I do. Honestly, I feel like it's at the end of the day, we all need to support each other, knowing that what works for each mom is what is right for that family. But yes, I think both sides experience isolation in that working moms band together because this is the decision they made for their life and their families. And so they see stay-at-home moms as, I hope I'm going to use this properly, but almost like pretentious, like they're on this high horse, like, oh yes, I'm a stay-at-home mother. I actually experienced something almost exactly like that, even though I only work 2 days a week right now at the spa. When my daughter was in preschool, I, you know, overheard two women talking and they were trying to nail down like a play date location. And I was going to chime in to help them, you know, with directions to that place. They were having trouble communicating in the direction part of their conversation. And but then right before I opened my mouth and I was in my scrubs that I wear at my job, one of the moms goes, oh, wait, are you a stay-at-home mom? And then the other mom goes, oh, my gosh, of course. And the first mom goes, oh, thank goodness. And so I kind of took a step back and was like, okay, these are not the moms I'm going to be friends with. But then I've also seen it the other way around where I've, you know, expressed out how, I only work 2 days a week. Oh, well, isn't that nice? So it kind of comes from you in both directions. Where I'm kind of in the middle. I'm home, 90% of the time, but then I do have jobs.
Okay, I got to laugh for a minute. Sorry. Only because I hear the elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room, I think, coming your way. Am I right?
Yes, I'm so sorry. He couldn't find his pacifier. Now he has it, and he's good.
This is called Real World, I think, right? So is Ray okay? Because we got the kid right by you, right? Ray's right by you
yes.
right now. Am I right? Okay.
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Always. Yeah.
Okay. So I know you were right in the middle of like how moms can be a little bit judgy of others, right, that are working. Just give me your opinion of that because I kind of feel like, wow, you know, I'm not one of those moms, right? I'm somebody who chose not to have children, always wanted children, but just never happened. So it's like to me, business and career and being a business owner is kind of like that's the ticket for me. But I'm curious mm-hmm. with you, you know, how do you navigate that when, you know, some of these moms, you know, just have not been real. It's almost like I said, there's a backlash to career women. It's like how do you recommend some of our listeners who are moms that maybe are working women, how do you suggest they deal with that? Because I know you have, and you always have just a really nice, kind way that you make your point. So what would you suggest to moms in a nice way, what they could do if they get any of that kind of backlash or judginess on them by being a career mom?
I mean, I would say that it really is just finding peace with what your decisions were. We even so much as like how we live our life right now is in an apartment versus only owning a home, things like that, that other people just can't understand. Owning a home is number one most important thing. And in Southern California, you really need two substantial incomes to make that work. And we've decided to forego that in lieu of being both of us being available and around to be involved in our kids' lives. And that's what made sense for us, but that's not everybody's priority. And just finding peace with that and being like, you know, I'm perfectly happy because I find joy in being extremely involved in my kids' lives where other people can't even possibly imagine that. And if you can't imagine that, that doesn't make you a bad parent. It's just that's not how you live your life. And I think that you just need to be okay with that and have peace with that. And when you're dealing with people that don't understand that, you can explain it if you choose, or you can just be like, you know, I just chose a different path. This is what works for me and my family.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's great. And I don't think we're saying that it's like one way or the other way is right or wrong. It's just what is. And it's interesting because I feel, you know, talk a little bit about, there's a term for it, of course, the mom guilt, right? Well, what about for you, the career guilt? I mean, do you find that you miss being full-time in your career? And, you know, find that you're going to go back to that? Or where are your thoughts now, knowing that you've got the two kidlets and you're spending priceless times with them right now? So I'm curious for you, where are you thinking for the future for you, or are you? It's like right now it's just all kids.
Yes. So I got a small glimpse of what my life would have looked like without a second kid, because we weren't sure the second one was going to happen. And then he ended up, you know, coming along, which was great. But in the meantime, I had kind of come to terms with not having another kid and what my life was going to look like. My daughter was about to start kindergarten that fall. And so I was kind of looking at a lot more free time in my life. And I started getting so excited about, you know, being able to, like, clean my house without somebody at my feet, or, you know, take a shower without somebody playing peekaboo at my curtain, as well as putting my career a little bit more on the front burner and picking up, you know, a couple more shifts a week, and having a little bit more financial comfort that comes with working a little bit more. And I started getting so excited for that. And of course, then we did find out we're having the second kid, and that was great. But I have to admit, there was a small part of me that was like, dang, I was getting really excited for a little bit more, honestly, comfort in life, because definitely staying at home, unless your you know, support system makes enough to keep you guys super comfortable, you're sacrificing, you know, essentially 50% of your income. And so things are tight. But I was getting excited about it. So I look forward to that day in 4 or 5 more years when I can work a little bit more, we can save a little bit more, we can have a little bit more, savings, I guess.
Right. That's a great perspective. I mean, you know, and I'm going to go there on another element, because, you know, on top of it, you know, and again, speaking as a woman in my mid-50s, you know, you're a millennial, you know, and I don't know whether you love or hate that term, because I know you've even done an online forum with CWI in the past about it. And it's like there's all these opinions about millennials, you know, that, you know, gosh, you know, you – and I'm going to say this, and this is not you, I want you to know that, but I'd love your opinion on it, where the opinion of millennials is that they don't want to work hard. It's like, you know, they're all about them. And it's like I'm making huge assumptions, and I have found that so not to be you. Again, out of full disclosure, you also work part-time for Connected Women of Influence, and you're in a virtual capacity, right? You don't have to go to an office every day. It's like you can – you know, work in your jammies in your home or with the kid right attached to you, right, which we've seen. But I want you, I mean, debunk the myths about millennials, because what I've seen from you is that you work extremely hard. You're very committed. You're very dedicated. When you put your mind and your attention to something, you do it. But I don't see the same trends with you that I see with millennials. I mean, what's your opinion of what is out there with the kind of mindset about millennials?
So something from I did do the online forum. It was Me Too, Is It Generational? And we kind of in the forum decided that it wasn't. But after listening to it again, I've kind of decided that it is. Because even in rewatching that forum, there's me and one other millennial who were part of it. And we both had absolutely no problem being extremely vocal about our opinions and our viewpoints. And so it kind of proved that it is a little bit. As millennials, we have no problem speaking up for ourselves, whether we're right or wrong. We have no problem kind of forging our own path and being like, you know what, that 9-to-5, no, I don't want that. I want something flexible. I want something online. I want to travel. I want to be home with my kids but still make money. You know, we have no problem searching and creating those pathways. Whereas it just wasn't generally accepted back in the day, I think. Maybe in the generations before us, it was less common for people to just say no to the norms. And I think a lot of times that's kind of seen as potential laziness, as, you know, I'm not going to conform to what society has for me. I'm going to create my own thing. And, you know, you might not get it, but it's fine. And I think that's really common for millennials, which is just a disconnect in that, you know, as far as my parents go, they expected me to do A, B, and C to get to D. I was supposed to go to college. I was supposed to establish my career, purchase a home, fall in love, have babies. Instead, I graduated high school early, established my career, had my babies, got married. I just did it totally differently. And so, it's not working harder or not, it's just different.
Right. You know, something else, and we've only got a few minutes left, I'm like, you know, it's interesting because I know you've shared with me in the past, you've been friends with people in the past, and then now it's like those that have kids are more of who you connect with and interact with. Those who don't, it's a little bit different scenario. But, you know, for those that are moms and trying to make the decision of whether to back off a little bit on the number of hours, like, what advice would you give them in trying to choose? Because, you know, most companies are not very friendly to part-time workers, right? And when you're a mom, I know my sister went through a lot with my nephews where she wanted to work part-time, and she's, you know, like you, you're licensed as an esthetician, couldn't think of the word. And then my sister was licensed as a physical therapist, and nobody wanted her part-time. They only wanted her full-time. Mm-hmm. And it was a real struggle for her, and she kind of made the same decision to stay home with the kids and kind of regretted it at some times and felt guilt about it because she wasn't kind of getting herself fueled to keep her career up to date. So, you know, what advice would you give women on kind of trying to make that decision? What advice would you give them as they try to figure out what's most important to them? Because it's different for everybody, right? And you made your decision, but what advice would you give other women in making that decision, trying to choose?
I would say that you know in your gut what you want to do, and so it's just coming up with the game plan to make it happen where you can feel good in that decision. So if your decision is to go to work, do, you know, too much research and finding the right place where you're going to feel good dropping your kid off every day. If your decision is to stay home and that is messing up your career plan, just unfortunately know it's going to be really hard until you go back to work. You're going to be looking for odds and ends jobs. You're going to be being really creative with saving money and with, you know, making little bits here and there in the meantime. And when it gets hard, just know that you made that decision for your kids and for you. And you almost have to force being okay with it, if I can say that.
Great. Live with your decision. I think that's good. No, it's great. I want the future for you. Like, what is, you know, when is, are you thinking to change ever to, like, what are your career plans or entrepreneurship plans, or are you even thinking that way when the kids are a little bit older? Like, you know, when kids get into school, then you've got all those after school activities. I know my sister, all she did was the runaround mom, right, where you're playing carport, transport, drop off, pick up, all of that. It's like, are you thinking this is going to be the way it's going to be with you till the kids grow up, or you know, what are your aspirations and plans, you know, in the next few years?
Well, for in the after school runaround, I'm definitely experiencing that already with my 6-year-old. So I can see that even once my son is in school in 4 more years, when he's in kindergarten, my career kind of will be limited to the time, to the hours that they're in school. And that is probably just how it will be for me, but that's my decision, is that I want to be able to pick them up every day. And so for me, I'm going to limit my career to, you know, 9 to 2:30 every day. That's the potential I have for a career while my kids are in school. And that's my decision, of course. And, you know, I don't know, though. I might change that later on. Or it's always kind of rolling with the punches and seeing what the kids want to do. I mean, there's even the potential of you know, our kids going to, now there's a lot of kind of alternative schools now that sometimes kids flourish better in, such as going only 3 days a week, but it's a regular public school. So it kind of just, I have a game plan of going back to work in 4 years, more full time,
mm-hmm.
but subject right. to change.
I think that's a great plan. And it's like, and you're a planner. I know that about you. And I, you know, I'm curious because I know, I remember the one time when I shared with you about, because I knew you were working two jobs and we had a conversation and I said, you know, what would you think about, you know, some sort of part-time work that was virtual? And you were like, I remember your answer to me was, is there such a thing? And I was like, yeah, there is. And so I'm curious with you to share a little bit, you know, about what, you know, we only have a couple of minutes, but I'm curious about your role mm-hmm. at CWI and how has that kind of fit, you know, for you, because I hope other women can find virtual work like that, you know, but what, how has the virtual work environment worked for you? I'm curious, just kind of share. And of course, say great things about CWI, but I'm just teasing.
I'll be totally, totally honest. It has been a godsend as much as it has been a huge struggle because before CWI, I was working at a restaurant. Before that, I was working an overnight shift at a hotel, which almost killed me. I wasn't sleeping. I have done freelance work. I mean, I have done so many odd jobs to compensate for me not working full time in my career that still allow me to be home with my kids as much as possible. That it has been an absolute godsend because I don't have to be quite so creative. However, having your work in your home and having your kids all over your space, your workspace, comes with a whole new set of challenges in focus and production.
True.
So I
absolutely
loved
yeah.
it, but it definitely comes with its own set of challenges too.
There's always pros and cons to every situation, but, you know, I mean, I guess I look at that and go, it's got to be the right person because not everybody's cut out, you know, to work virtually. But, you know, for a lot of moms, I know for me in a previous business I owned, like I used to hire a lot of moms to do basket packaging, you know, for corporate gifts. Mm-hmm. And I knew they had to be out the door at 1:59. And then, you know, at about 4:00, 4:30, it's like we would have, you know, students come in and do kind of evening work if we had big basket orders. And it was just a way we worked with it. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think there's something for everybody, but I, you know, I don't know enough women know that there's some options for you and, you know, go look, go seek it out. So I want to thank you for being our leading lady today and leading mom. We'll say that.
Thank you.
We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show because we are here every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. And it's always my pleasure to know that our listeners are loyal and that you're here with us every Monday and Friday. And we are international in scope. So we will be back again for the next Women Lead Radio show. And as I always share and ask, I challenge each of us as women to just truly be supportive of one another. That's how we can move the needle forward. Have a great week, and thank you for listening.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.